my purpose in teaching at length on Pentecost and the extraordinary manifestations of the Holy Spirit has not been to afflict anyone with a despairing nostalgia for the past, which is irretrievably gone, or which is recoverable by only a few of God's special people. If the realities and the victories of the Holy Ghost are no longer available, all that has been said on the subject can serve no practical purpose. It is this speaker's contention that the ministry of the Spirit in Pentecostal fullness, according to the Pentecostal pattern, is to continue until the end of the age. Pentecost was not a religious exhibition. It was God's inauguration of a world plan of evangelism and was meant to carry through his kingdom until the king returns. We must regard Pentecost not as an event, but a new era with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a gift once for all bestowed upon the church, not a legacy of the dead to the living, but the opening of a river of life, the beginning of a flow of the Spirit in a current of communication from the Father to the Son and from the Son to the Church. So the descent of the Spirit is not an incident, but a constant process. Many excellent Bible scholars say the baptism in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was the first and last needful outpouring of the Spirit upon the church. But Scripture and experience agree that there is a personal need, and that need is met in the endowment of power so graciously promised to the church in the beginning and guaranteed to continue unto the end of the age. Some scholars maintain, but without scriptural warrant, that the Pentecostal endowment of power expired. The promise which brought Pentecost bore no date of limitation, only waiting for a believing heart. Unbelief cannot make void any of the promises of God. It only impoverishes the unbeliever. It was because Jesus was departing from the disciples bodily that he proposed sending another comforter, though the promise had been made long before through the prophets, because in the days of his flesh, Jesus was restricted and hampered by a fleshly body. Jesus said, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." As long as he is bodily absent, the endowment of power in the person of the Holy Spirit will remain with the church. Let me give you a few scriptures that would prove that there has been no change in God's plan to endow the church with power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 39 tells us, "The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Could the promise be more inclusive? Does it eliminate any believer in Christ? Without a question, this promise belongs to the faith delivered unto the saints, for which Jude so urgently exhorted us to earnestly contend. And then again we read in Acts 1 and 8, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me unto the uttermost parts of the earth." This is perfectly evident that the promise was not limited to those living disciples only. They did not reach the uttermost parts of the earth, which is involved in the Master's program. As long as the church is in the world, its mission will be the execution of and the extending of that program. And as long as the church has a mission of bearing witness, the promise of the Holy Ghost's endowment of power as an enablement will be valid and attainable.
All hail King Jesus.
If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.